about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Although it was 20 years ago, I still vividly remember the burial of my cousin. My cousin who had died in a plane crash. And as the people were dispersing after his burial, I noticed a friend of his was standing at a wooden fence looking over a farm. And it seemed to me as I looked at him that he appeared angry and that he was asking a question, looking out, maybe calling out to God. And he was asking, it seemed to me, why? Why? I don't know if this person had hope in God, but he was certainly grieving the loss of his dear friend. Asking why is natural for all of us when we face the reality of the death of our family or friends, as it separates us from our loved ones. Every one of us, we have our own way of grieving, but there is a distinct way in which Christians grieve. What characterizes funerals and memorial services for Christians? You've been to many of them, I'm sure. And for many I've been to, they are, in many ways, celebrations. They are times of great joy. We went to a memorial service for the wife of Ken Smith, who's preached here and has taught here. Floy Smith went on to be with the Lord. And there was a joyful memorial service as we remembered a life well lived and that she is now with the Lord. While we grieve as Christians, we grieve with hope. With hope. Hope because we know what awaits all those who have died in Christ. For those in Thessalonica, the believers in Thessalonica were grieving. They were grieving because they lost loved ones. Sometime between the time when the church was planted by the missionaries and the time that Timothy went to visit them. And he came back with a report saying that they were grieving and that this church needed encouragement. They needed comfort. This is why Paul provides clarity on the coming of the Lord, so that they would not be overwhelmed in their grief. Verse 13, it says, not be like those who are unbelievers, who have no hope. Up to this point in the letter that they had written to the church in Thessalonica, the missionaries had not spoken or taught specifically on the Lord's coming, but they had mentioned it. It was a reoccurring theme. Each chapter mentions the coming of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, it says, you turned from God. You remember that? You turned from God to the living God, the true and living God, from your idols, to wait for the Savior coming from heaven, the Savior who was raised from the dead, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Also in chapter 2, verse 19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown? Is it not you at the coming of the Lord Jesus? And then also in chapter 3, verse 12, they write, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. So that theme is there throughout the letter. But here in chapter 4, Paul is going to teach on the coming of the Lord Jesus, specifically answering this question that they seem to have. What will happen with our loved ones who have been separated from us? And what will happen to them at the coming of the Lord? And Paul mentions those people as those who have fallen asleep. Those who have fallen asleep. This is a euphemism. As though when we say, when someone has passed away, it is in another way of saying those who have died. And here, Paul says, those who have died in Christ, Christians who have died. The question is, why can we grieve with hope for them? And Paul gives three reasons why we can grieve with hope for those who have died in Christ. And the first reason is this: we grieve with hope for those who have died in Christ because, you can follow along in your outlines, the resurrection of Jesus will bring our resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus means and brings our resurrection. We see that in verses 13 and 14. Our confession as Christians is this: that we believe that Jesus died and rose again. This is the foundation in which we stand. Jesus' death and resurrection. And in that, there is hope. And there is the guarantee of our resurrection, of all the dead who are in Christ. As Christ has been raised, so will we be raised. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus, as Paul writes, those who have fallen asleep in Him. In other words, believers who are united with Jesus by faith, in their death, this is what happens. Their body is buried, awaiting the resurrection, but their soul is immediately with the Lord. Their spirit is with the Lord forever, has gone to be with the Lord. And the resurrection to come is a guarantee, is guaranteed because Christ has been raised. That is the basis of our resurrection. He is the first fruits of us all. He is the first to be raised, and the rest of us will be raised with Him at His coming. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says the same. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And there was a foretaste of this power of the resurrection immediately after the resurrection of Jesus. Have you noticed that in your reading? In Matthew 27, 50 to 53, it says, when Jesus had cried out again with a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. His body died, but His spirit went to be with His Father. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs were broke open. And then Matthew writes, as though it's an aside, listen to this. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of their tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Imagine that. The death-defying resurrection of Jesus was so powerful that it broke open the tombs in Jerusalem. The Old Testament saints who had long been lying dead, but their bodies united with Christ by faith, they burst out of their graves and they went around testifying of the power of Christ's resurrection. At the coming of the Lord, there will be even greater display of power that no eye has ever seen. All the saints in history throughout the globe will be raised in a moment. Think of your loved ones, those who are in Christ, where they are buried now today. Think of them. One day, That day when the Lord comes, they will burst out of their graves with new bodies, resurrection bodies, like Christ's resurrection body, fit for heaven. And that resurrection life that is in Christ is theirs. And they will not die, but they will live forevermore. And it is for you too also who believe. In John 14:19 it says, He lives, because He lives, you too shall live. The resurrection is so certain for those in Christ that David could say in Psalm 118:17, I will not die, but live. And will proclaim what the Lord has done. And this psalm really is about Jesus saying, I will not die, but I will live. But also saying in John 11, I am the, what? Resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. And he says, anyone who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Then he asked Martha this question. Do you believe this? And Jesus would ask you, do you believe this? That though you die, you shall yet live. Do you believe this? This is the confession of every true believer throughout history. It's in our creeds. In the church history, in the early church, especially the Apostles' Creed, we have these words of a confession of faith. I believe in Jesus Christ, who was crucified, who died and was buried. And the third day he rose again. I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Is that your confession? Do you believe that? Therein then lies your hope, the resurrection life. Even for us, as we grieve the loss of our loved ones, we have hope. We have hope in the resurrection. Another reason why we grieve with hope, the second reason is this: the return of the Lord will be personal and powerful. The return of the Lord will be personal and powerful. You'll see that in verses 15 and 16. Beginning in verse 15, Paul reminds the church that this teaching is according to the Lord's own word. It's not his word. This is a revelation he received from the Lord. It's inspired. It is authoritative. And is telling us what is going to happen at the coming of the Lord. Whatever understanding you have of the last day, you must be informed by this. At the Lord's return, some believers will still be alive. Some will still be alive. Paul says, we who are still alive. But there will also be those who are dead in Christ. And you must understand from this text that they will rise first. Paul writes, those who are left to the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Believers in Thessalonica who are grieving, they were wondering if their loved ones would somehow miss the glorious coming of the Lord. Paul then explains, they will by no means be excluded, but they will have first priority and privilege and honor on that day, for they will rise first. And also they needed to know that the Lord will not only return personally, but he will also return powerfully, with great power. The word for the coming of Christ is parousia. And it's a term that is used for an official visit of a king. The king would come to a city and he would come with great pomp and celebration. But these were simply earthly kings. What about the king from heaven, coming down to earth from heaven? The great parousia of King Jesus. He will come with all his glory, with all his angels with him. Matthew 25:31 says, every eye on that day will see His glory. It will be visible. It will not be in secret. It will be seen by all. Revelation 1:7 says, look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who have pierced Him. All peoples on earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen, says John. His coming is not only visible to all, but it is also audible. It will come with great noise as the Lord gives an order that the dead be raised. Verse 16 tells us so. Firstly, the first is a loud command, a cry that must be obeyed. It was like when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, and He was there rotting in His body for 4 days in that tomb. And He came to the tomb with a loud voice. He calls out to His friend, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus obeyed. He got up. He was raised from the dead. A loud command when the Lord comes to call all to be raised. Secondly, a voice of an archangel. Chief of the angels. We don't know which of the archangels, but he will also be allowed to add his voice. We will hear the voice of an archangel with the command of the Lord. Thirdly, the trumpet call of God. According to the Old Testament, the trumpet was to call and announce the day of the Lord, to call the dispersed ones from the east to the west to come and be gathered. On that day as well, we will hear a trumpet, the trumpet call of God. Listen how the same coming, the same appearing, the same parousia is described in 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. At the trumpet sound, the dead will be raised. All who are in Christ will be changed, the twinkling of an eye, and those bodies will now be fit for heaven. I can remember a time when there were many movies about the apocalypse. There was this fascination about the apocalypse. And now it seems the fascination is about zombies, people who are coming out of their graves. And there are movies and TV series and video games about zombies. There's fascination about this kind of resurrection. Well, the Scripture teaches at the coming of the Lord, there will be a judgment and there will be a resurrection. But not unlike Hollywood portrays it. On that day, there will be the resurrection of everyone, both the unrighteous, unbelievers, and believers, the righteous. And it will all begin with the glorious appearing of the Lord. And no movies I have found can even begin to show the glory and the majesty of His coming. That when He comes, He will come personally, He Himself, and He will come with great power. You have been informed about His coming, and you are, I pray, comforted by this fact, that the Lord will come, be ushered in with a loud trumpeting procession, and the dead in Christ will be awakened. And this is what will happen. Those who are still living will join with them. We who are alive, if we live until that day, will see all of this ourselves. It will be a great reunion in the sky, which is another word of encouragement for us in our grief. For we not only hope for the final resurrection, but also the reunion of that day. The third reason why we grieve with hope is because the reunion of the living and the dead in Christ will be eternal. There will be a reunion. See that in verses 17 and 18. Verses 17, Paul writes, those who are left will be caught up. Will be caught up. What does that mean? This is where in Latin we have the word raptio or rapture in English, meaning the snatching away, the taking up, in the sense of being suddenly lifted upward. This is what will happen to those who are still alive. And it says it will be with them. Those who are still alive will be caught up with those who have been raised from the dead, those who are dead in Christ. And they will be lifted up to the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. This will not be a cloud like we see here, rain clouds. This will be a Shekinah glory cloud. It will be in all of Christ's glory. In Daniel 7:13, we have the picture of the Son of Man who comes with the clouds of heaven. And there in the sky, the Lord will meet with all His redeemed people in the clouds. In ancient times, when the king or a dignitary would come to a city, come close to the edge of a city, the people would come out to meet with that king and welcome and greet that king with great celebration. And it's similar for us. The saints will go up into the clouds, into the air, and the saints will be caught up and with those who have been raised from the dead, and they will welcome their king who has come. And there will be a reunion with the Lord, and it will last forever. Have you ever been to a reunion before, a high school reunion, where you have hopefully a wonderful time reminiscing about the things you shared together during those days, and how you also notice how people have changed as well? There isn't very commonly a second reunion, and even more uncommon is to keep in touch with someone throughout a lifetime. But this reunion in the sky will be just the beginning. It will be for all the dead in Christ from Adam until that day, and it will all be those who are still living on that day, and that reunion of the church throughout history will be forever. It will just be beginning on that day. These are people that you have no personal history with, and yet you will have a reunion with them forever. It will be a reunion together with them forever, and never will we be separated from them, but especially from the Lord. We will be with Him into eternity. Do you long for that day? Do you look to that day, a day to long for, to give you encouragement and comfort for that day? That was the purpose of these words here. Paul says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. When someone is grieving the loss of a loved one, taking these words to comfort them, all those who have believed in Jesus. For some of you, you may feel at the end of this message that there's something lacking, that is lacking the detail of the explanation, further explanation of eschatology. Eschatology, the study of last things. You may want to know more. The purpose of this passage, however, is simply to give encouragement and comfort for the grieving. However, what you believe about this passage should significantly inform your eschatology. What you believe about the last things, the last days. And what is clear from the Lord's own word here are three things. Firstly, the day of the coming of Christ will be personal. He will come Himself, and it will be powerful. It will be visible for all to see. It will not be secret. And it will be loud for all to hear. That's what we know from this text. Secondly, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and those who will be caught up, those who are still alive, they will be with the Lord forever. That is one day, and they will be raised together. Thirdly, all believers from that day onward will be with the Lord. From that day onward. Knowing this, you and I can grieve with hope. We can grieve with a hope. We can look forward to that day of His coming. Whether we see it ourselves, if the Lord tarries and we see it ourselves with our own eyes, or we see it with new eyes, having been raised from the dead and seeing it all happen before our eyes. There is for us an endless hope in an encouragement for all of us who believe. What about those who do not believe? Who do not believe that Jesus died and was raised? They cannot be hopeful. Even if we might say that place is a better place, they cannot have hope beyond the grave because they do not know of this life, this resurrection life. For Jesus said there are two resurrections. A time is coming, He says, when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, resurrection life, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned, eternal death. If you are not believing unto death, if you're not believing throughout your life and unto your death, and you are put into the grave, that time is too late. You must believe unto life in this life. Those who have done evil in their lives and have not repented of their sin, have not believed in Jesus, His death and resurrection, to redeem them from their evil, they will lie in their graves condemned. Prepared for a resurrection of hopeless eternity in hell. That's what Jesus says. Our grief for those people is real. It is a real grief. We can only grieve with hope for those who are in Christ. So are you in Christ this morning? Are you believing in Jesus Christ? Are you in Him? So that if you die now, today, you will rest in peace, awaiting the resurrection to eternal life with the Lord. Children especially, you are young and your whole life is in front of you, and yet you do not know the day that God will call you. Are you believing in Jesus Christ, that He died and He rose again to life? And all of you, do you believe in Jesus, His death and resurrection for you? Let us all believe in Jesus, awaiting His coming, awaiting this resurrection to meet with the Lord in the air and to be with Him forever. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this life, resurrection life in Your Son. And we believe, Lord, right now for those who have a small faith, increase their faith to believe unto this resurrection of life, for life, to life, for You. That they and all of us would meet with You in the air and live with You together forever. Father, we thank You for this word of comfort. Help us in our grief as we remember those who have died. And trusting those who have died, we're not sure if they truly believed. But having comfort and encouragement for those who have died in Christ. Father, thank You for this word. Bless it to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, as we come to this table, the Lord's table, we are remembering the King who has come already once, His first coming.